www.thebeatsofmetal.com.
Another week on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. What a weekend. A chance to chill, hang with the family, get some fireworks in, get some grilling in, and then tragedy struck for a few other people. Sadly, in San Francisco, a flight went down. Could have been a lot worse. When you initially are driving around in your car, you know, you're listening to headlines and you hear a flight plummets on the runway in San Francisco. My goodness. I couldn't scramble fast enough to find out more information about it, thinking, I hope I didn't know anyone on that flight. But it turns out it was a flight that was coming from Seoul, Korea, Boeing 777. And what happened is still kind of a mystery, although pieces are out there of the puzzle. A pilot who hadn't flown too often in the 777, was he responsible? Did he miss something? They're looking at the black box, the National Transportation Safety Board. That's what they do. Come in, swoop in, grab it up, looking at it in Washington. I don't think they're going to have any great big statements until they look into this a little further. They usually never do a super, super quick turnaround. Four pilots were on the plane. They were rotating shifts. It was a 10.5-hour flight, and the crew had veterans and had a veteran and had somebody who didn't have quite as many hours logged on the 777. So what happened was the plane was traveling really slower than normal as it started its descent. Then the crew called to accelerate and get another chance to land, but it was too late. The crash killed two 16-year-old girls from China, injured a slew of other people, and it slammed into the runway Saturday morning, breaking off its tail, catching on fire before slumping to a stop that allowed passengers to jump down the emergency slides into thick smoke and a trail of debris everywhere. Firefighters quickly got to it, got out the flames that were burning the fuselage, thank goodness, because there's always the possibility of an explosion there. Police were on the ground, and they were trying to throw knives up to the crew so they could cut down the seatbelts of the people who were still trapped, and rescue crews were removing some of the injured people. So it was a chaotic scene. They scrambled and did everything they could and probably saved a bunch of lives in this flight, since there were so many people that were there, over 185 people on the plane. They had a press conference on Sunday, and they said that the flight crew on that plane had a visible approach to the runway, put the landing down, the landing gear, the plane's landing gear down, and then they heard all that in the cockpit voice recorder. The plane's target speed for landing was like 158 miles an hour. The crew had no discussion of concerns of the way the plane was coming down for the landing, but seven seconds before the plane smashed into the seawall, one of the crew called on the pilots to increase the speed. That's what they were getting from the flight data recorder, that the plane was going below the target landing speed and the engine throttles advance, which is what you don't want, that stick shaker. And that's what happened before impact, because it's got an oral and sort of a physical warning to the crew that the plane's going to stall, and it sounded off just right before that happened. So how awful. No reports initially. They were saying some crazy things about wind shears or microbursts, but no reports of really that wind played any kind of a role in that in the end. Just more fodder that was flying around out there as possibilities. Could that have been what it was? But no. There was a thing as far as what they call a glide slope system for routine landings where you can use it to stay on course. It helps them. It's a visual thing to help them stay on course at San Francisco, and it had been shut down. It was in maintenance. They were for usual maintenance thing. So the pilots would have to rely on, other things, other cues to glide them down the runway, and they didn't have some of that available to them because the one thing was out. But it shouldn't have, even as Captain, Chesley's Sullenberger said, and he was the one who landed the plane on the Hudson River in 2009, he said that even typically, because he's from that area, they have good weather at most airports, and so they, when they're flying the proper glide path for the runway, they have not had it available to them, electronic information, they have good weather most of the time, and that pulls them in, and that's okay. So you could have something that might have, would it have been a factor that there was something they couldn't have looked at? They're investigating that. Was this something that could have happened? They're also focusing on gathering any of the other stuff from the scene, things that fell apart and all of that, to try to piece that together, too. But there was more than I said. There was 291, not 185. There's 291 passengers and 16 crew members on the plane were accounted for. 182 people were taken to the hospital. 19, as of just checking, are still in the hospital. 6 are in critical condition, sadly. One of them, a small child. And I already mentioned that the two people killed were two 16-year-old girls from China. They say that there's what they're seeing at the hospital, what they're treating, is abdominal injuries, spinal fractures, sadly, a few causing paralysis, and patients with head traumas. So what's happened is some people got out and were fine and had just some scratches, bruises, what they call sort of road rash kind of injuries, and then others much, much more dramatic, not quite as lucky, probably because of how it landed and their position in the plane would have played a part in that and how they fell or how they went up. And they say there's going to be a lot of surgeries to come, so that tells you that this wasn't all hunky-dory, all nothing, that meaning that everyone just pretty much got off of there and they're rattled and the two were killed. But no, there's some people that are hoping for miracles and have surgeries in front of them and whatnot. There's major structural damage inside the plane, and some people were buckled in the seats, couldn't get out, that kind of stuff. But 123 people walking away from it. The San Francisco Fire Department chief, who was there responding, said it was nothing short of a miracle that many people were able to walk away from this. It's seeing it on the ground, said it was unbelievable that many people were able to get out, because they hit the runway pretty bad. They started going back up in the air again, then landed again pretty hard, pretty violent landing. So some people were able to avoid the injuries and were able to get out, and others were unfortunately not as lucky as where they were. And then other people scrambling were helping people and were terrific, and then there were some people that were trying to grab their stuff and were kind of in the way of others that were trying to get out. So I don't understand that. In the middle of a plane crash, the last thing you should be concerned about, I would think, is the overhead bins, unless it's falling on you, which in some cases that was happening. But, boy, what a terrible, terrible thing. As you're coming from a long trip, this is the final stage of the flight. Boom, we're going to land, we're okay, and then they're nothing short of not okay. Fire trucks spraying white fire retardant on the wreckage, all that kind of stuff. Just sad to see pieces of the tail strewn about the runway. All right, join us on the flip side. Some history was made in a tennis tournament today. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it. With what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts, if you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
Oklahoma reminds us there are many kinds of storms in our lives. Nature regularly sends us destructive storms. 24 hours before a storm strikes, people panic. It would be wise to prepare ahead of the panic curve. The food price storm from drought and livestock problems is forecast to hit ridiculous heights by the end of the summer. Wonder if there'll really be a problem? eFoods Direct has a plan to maximize your food dollar and guarantee you'll be glad you ordered food. Until July 10th, buy three of any food item and receive the fourth one free with free shipping. The guarantee. After September 20th, when you've seen what happened with food prices and shortages, if you're not glad you ordered food, return the food unopened for a full refund. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or call 800-409-5633. Your peace of mind guarantee. eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or 800-409-5633.
It's also that time when people take in pro ball games, go to the major leagues, catch their favorite team. Perhaps you were huddled around a tube to watch the finals of the men at Wimbledon, depending on where you live. It could be pretty easy because you could have just gotten up early, made a little coffee, had a little scone or two, and watched some pretty decent tennis. So Kate Delaney, a tennis fan, hanging out with all of you here on America Tonight to tell you that in England, it had been 77 years since there had been a champion of their own. They had awarded the crown to Americans, to Europeans, to so many other types of people from different countries, you know, men and women from different countries, the hoisting the trophy, but it hadn't been anyone from England in a very, very long time on the men's side. So Andy Murray comes along, and last year he is the runner-up, and he is so choked up he can barely talk last year when he came in second in that tournament. This time around, it was his turn as he dispatched Novak Djokovic 6-4, 7-5, 6-4, and it was a really good match. I got up and did that thing where I grabbed the coffee and watched it. He's the first Brit to win Wimbledon since Fred Perry in 1936. The crowd was going absolutely crazy for him. He talked about how physically demanding it was afterwards, how he really couldn't think about much, can't believe he won, worked really hard. He was all over the map and very, very excited.
I worked extremely hard for this, and after last year, to come back from that was extremely tough, so I'm proud that I managed to do that. And that last game was very, very challenging mentally, probably the hardest few points I've ever had to play in my life.
Winning Wimbledon is, yeah, I still can't believe it, can't get my head around that. I can't believe it.
Winning this tournament and winning Grand Slams, and you know, I'm happy I did it for myself, for my team, for the country, and also those guys, because they've supported me a lot through the years.
It was physically incredibly demanding match, and the end mentally was that last game's toughest. I think will be the toughest game I play in my career ever. I was thinking, honestly, where I was going to serve my first serve, and often, and you know, in games when you're serving for matches, you know, the first point of the game can be crucial. So I was thinking exactly where I was going to serve, and that was pretty much it, really. I wasn't thinking anything else. That's really been at the story of my career, probably. I had, you know, a lot of tough losses, but the one thing I would say is I think every year I always improved a little bit. Wasn't major improvements, massive changes, but every year, you know, my ranking was going in the right direction.
Yep, and he definitely is going in the right direction there. It's just three straight sets. There were some moments where Novak Djokovic, actually in the second and third set, was up 4-1 and Murray came back. It was great redemption for him. He won a gold medal over Roger Federer at Wimbledon and whatnot last year, but when he had the crack at winning the tournament, that's when he lost, and you could tell he was referring back to how much it had stuck with him, and what a huge payday, they say, for the win for him, because he's British and it had been such a drought and the fans are going crazy and all that sort of stuff, that it'll probably be worth $50 million. The actual prize money was over $2 million, but in endorsements and all that kind of stuff, it'll just be incredibly lucrative for him. So it was fun to watch Wimbledon. Not so much for the ladies. On the ladies' side, there was no Americans, and obviously there wasn't any Americans for the men either, but you had Marion Bartoli, who beat Sabine Lisicki, and in that match, it was just a complete rout. It wasn't even like a match. It's funny, because the Murray match was good. The Djokovic-Murray match was good. It definitely came down to points here and there, and Djokovic could have easily turned it around, except for he seemed spent to me. But in the case of the women, Marion Bartoli being there, it was almost hard to watch that final because, I mean, she just really blew away Lisicki, 6-1, 6-4. Luckily, Lisicki got those four games, but she was just, you know, not composed on the court. She was crying almost from the beginning when she started to lose a lot of games. She couldn't handle it, so it was kind of wild to see that. Over the weekend, you might have taken in a movie. And if you took in a movie, did you go and see with grandkids or kids or whatever that Despicable Me? Because most people did. The Lone Ranger bombed, not even making $30 million in a weekend, holiday weekend, where people go and see movies. You know, maybe they normally don't see a lot of movies, but on the holiday, they have for days, so they go and they take kids. Their own kids or their kids' kids or whatever. Or they just go. They just go themselves. They don't have to have kids to do it. And the movie that a lot of people were anticipating might have done okay did not do okay. It, as I said, it brought in less than $30 million, just under $30 million for that three-day weekend. And the total so far since it's been released is $48 million. Despicable Me has taken in more than $293 million worldwide, not even close. You know, we do our cheap movie reviews. Not even close. Just three-day haul, $140 million. The whole holiday, $140 million. So Steve Carell and all the other voices of Despicable Me did a lot better than Johnny Depp as Tonto, and Armie Hammer as the Lone Ranger. I mean, it's so bad that people are comparing it to John Carter, a movie that just came in and out of the theaters and had no legs whatsoever. And I guess thinking of the box office bang of Johnny Depp, it has a lot of people kind of surprised that's what's going on. Hey, coming up this week on America Tonight, we're going to have more in the George Zimmerman trial. There may be a verdict by the end of the week. Also, Tresa Hines Carey has been taken to a hospital in critical condition. If you remember, a few years ago, she got cancer. She was diagnosed with breast cancer. And is this related to that? You would assume, but they're not saying very much about it, so maybe not. They're saying undisclosed ailment. She's 74 years old. She was at her family's vacation home, and they ended up taking her by ambulance to the Nantucket hospital. They're saying that people are asking questions and want to know, and they can't really say much, that she's just critical. She's in critical but stable condition, and that's, you know, that's it. She's had a bunch of serious health problems in the last couple of years. The breast cancer I mentioned in September of 2009, and she's had a few other things that have happened too as well. So this was a break, really, for the whole family, as John Kerry was back from being on the road for a long time, and that was cut short because of the trip to the hospital. But how she's recovering and all that stuff, they haven't released any new information other than that. It's going to be a very big week in Washington, D.C., because after the break, now you have a couple of things on the table, like immigration, this immigration reform that keeps being talked about. Will it actually really happen? You know, will the House get its act together? Will they clear a path for this? It's interesting, in clearing a path, using those words, Congress is actually on a pace to get rid of fewer bills than they have in a long time. It's a record low because there's a backlog of unfinished business. I'm sure you're surprised by that. And you see the sliding approval ratings. What, it's less than 10%. So this Congress is the 113th Congress in our history, and it convened, as you know, in January. The Senate's been in session 80 days, the House 84. So I'm going to give you the totals that I was reading about. 15 bills. They passed 15 bills that were then signed by the president. That's 8 fewer than the first 6 months of the last Congress and 19 fewer than in the same stretch of the 111th Congress. So how about that backtracking? Because they won't compromise. So they're not engaging in the normal negotiating compromise with the president even. They're not doing any of that. They're separate, but not equal. So they've got major pieces of legislation, including the farm bill, including the immigration reform bills that are being discussed, and a couple of other things that are just hanging around. So how about that? And they're just a couple of weeks away after that of taking a full-on break, too, for the rest of the summer. Stay tuned, much more to come your way as we flip to the B-side.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com. Enhancing health and privacy.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Got a simple question for you. Can you sell? Yes? Okay. Can you sell the intangible? If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise at GCNlive.com. Again, that's advertise at GCNlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.
Did you know that 50% of heart attacks are brought on by infections? Did you know that hospitals are breeding grounds for antibiotic-resistant bugs like MRSA? The environment is infected with parasites, and the mild winter means ticks with Lyme disease, mosquitoes with West Nile virus, and cold and flu viruses will be on the rise. Protect yourself with nature's natural antiparasitic, antiviral, antifungal, antibiotic, Allicin, the heart of garlic. Get concentrated protection with Alli-C and Alli-Ban from Affinity Health Products. One capsule of Alli-C equals 40 cloves of garlic or 100 garlic pills with no garlic breath. Alli-Ban has Allicin in spray, liquid, and cream forms with three times more strength than leading brands and costs less. Go to Alli-C.com, spelled Alli-C.com, or call 855-ALLICIN. That's 855-255-4246. That's 855-255-4246. Protect yourself with Alli-C and Alli-Ban from Affinity Health Products at Alli-C.com.
Snowden end up, the NSA leaker, Cuba, Bolivia, Venezuela, and all of you can also weigh in on that at americatonight.net. One thing we don't have to contemplate anymore is Dwight Howard. Oh, was that saga over that princess going on way too long? And the Houston Rockets land Dwight Howard, so finally that storyline is done temporarily. And then, of course, in the world of tennis, talk about a drought ending. How long was it? 77 years since the Brits could claim that one of their own had won Wimbledon, and that happened with Andy Murray, a huge victory over Novak Djokovic. And how many times have I seen these two guys play in person? And this was really a terrific match. Very excited to welcome to the show somebody who's got serious game on his own. You can catch him on NBC Radio, and he does a terrific show, bounces around and talks about all kinds of things. Robbie B., Rob Buska, joins us. He's in our virtual green room. Rob, I know you're such a huge tennis fan. You were probably glued to the action at, what, 6 in the morning?
Yeah, I was... I was watching it, honestly, I was more interested in the ladies, than I was the men. That's just me. Nothing wrong with that. But no, I'm big Sabine Lisicki fan. Absolutely. I was like, wow. How can you go? I could have swore I caught her winking at me in the camera once, but I don't know. I may be mistaken. Maybe I'll tweet at her.
And you know what? That was such, she cries. She cried on court. And so She may be a woman after your own heart. Beautiful blonde, not afraid to cry.
I'm planning my next vacation. I'm going to try to sweep her off her feet. We'll see how it goes.
Rob, what did you think? I wanted to bounce a couple of different things in your direction. What did you think, finally, that Dwight Howard, that whole saga's over? You know, L.A. doesn't land him. He doesn't take the $30 million in hand, doesn't, you know, tag team partner still with Kobe Bryant, and goes to the Rockets. So what was your take on that?
You know, I say, Kate, I'm one of the only national talk show host guys I know out there that likes to be biased and say stuff. And what I mean by that, we're supposed to be objective and supposed to talk. I don't, okay? I live in L.A., and I get a lot of hatred from callers and people here because I'm from the Pacific Northwest, and I'm jealous of the weather. I'm jealous of the girls and all the championships down here. I hate living down here and rooting for the Lakers and all those people. So it was a great day for me that Howard left. And to be quite honest with you, I hope they trade away Yasiel Puig while they're at it and get rid of Clayton Kershaw. Too, you know, with the touches. But you know, it was nice to see him go to Houston. You know, how much that's going to help them. I mean, obviously give them a good considerable game down low, but I'm of the mindset that the way that the game has changed nowadays, you don't win a championship without a good point guard, without a good penetration from a one, you know, to get to, at least a two, you know, to get down there. So what James Harden gives you, you know, is obviously enough shooting on the outside and Dwight down low inside. But if you're counting on Jeremy Lin, you know, to lead you to the promised land, I know they're going to try to mix things up there. You know, I wouldn't necessarily count on that. I think the Rockets need another piece, but the answer wasn't in L.A. I mean, Steve Nash is as old as me. He's collecting Social Security, for crying out loud. Pau Gasol's, he's a European, so he's soft, you know, and it's... I mean, that's just, you know, what the Lakers are all about, the rebuilding right now. They're trying to clear cap space. And out here, everybody's saying good riddance to them, and we're looking forward to 2014 to 15. We're going to land LeBron and Dwayne Wade. Not everybody wants to come to L.A. anymore. You know, the people in Los Angeles have the same reverse mindset that they do in Boston, too, that the world doesn't exist outside their little stratosphere here, and it's not as appealing of a place as it once used to be. We're not living on championships in the 60s and the 70s anymore. Those days are long gone.
Yeah, I agree with you, too, by the way. Absolutely. And I think Lin, can't be the Lin show. He can't help in that position. They got to ditch him and go in a different direction. He had his 15 minutes.
Westbrook down to Houston. Now we're talking. You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
give me Darren Williams. Now we're talking.
Yeah. He had his 15 minutes in New York, and that was it, and boom, and, you know, Lin mania and all that, but not going to happen there with the Rockets. I totally agree with you. What's your favorite sport? Do you like baseball, football? What is it?
By far and away, it's baseball. I mean, you know, I grew up, played a little bit of baseball. I have a son who plays Division I college baseball right now. I have another son who is a senior in high school, and he's actually better than a college sophomore. I'm glad he's not listening right now, you know, and otherwise he'd be, you know, pretty upset with me. But, you know, baseball's always been in my blood. You know, I've been a huge San Francisco Giants fan. Even growing up in Seattle, the Mariners were the only team I never rooted for, because you got to keep in mind, Kate, I'm a Seahawks season ticket holder, so I fly up from L.A. to go to all the Seahawks games. I love those guys. But they were brutal when I was a kid. The Sonics were horrible when I was a kid. So when baseball came around, I told my dad, I'm like 7 or 8 years old, I'm like, look, I can't sit through 6 months of this Mariners garbage. He tells me to pick another team. Well, when you're 7, you're not that creative. I just grab the map. The closest thing to Seattle is the Bay Area. I see Oakland. Oh, we play Oakland all the time. I said the A's. And my dad punched me so hard in the shoulder that I'm still feeling it now, 30 years later, you know. So I kind of looked across. I picked my shoulder up off the ground. I looked across the bridge. I said, what about the Giants? Can I root for them? And I looked up for his approval. He's like, yeah, that's fine. The American League will never play the National League during the season anyway. They don't believe in that stuff. That's called interleague play. That'll never happen. So I said, all right.
You're right.
So I know it turned out to be that. And then the ironic thing about it is when I got out of high school, I coached a little league team. I was an assistant on a little league team, and they had a kid named Tim Lincecum on the team there. And now that he's playing for my favorite team, because Timmy's from Seattle as well, too. You know, kind of from the same neighborhood there. It's been a pretty cool thing that, hey, he happens to play for my team, you know, as well, too. As a matter of fact, I was up at San Francisco. You know, I'm on my way the last couple days watching the Giants continue to play some of the worst baseball I've seen in a decade. I'm embarrassed to be a Giants fan right now. I came up to watch him beat the Dodgers, and it backfired on me.
Yeah, no kidding. It said Ellis, man, that was it. And unfortunately, yeah. Boom, bases loaded. That's all she wrote. Yeah.
And as much as I love Sergio Romo, Kate, the fact is the guy has one pitch. He's a one-trick pony. He's got a slider that 98% of baseball can't hit, but occasionally you get somebody that can, and that's exactly every time Sergio Romo loses a game or gives up the base hit, it's because somebody, you know, got to his slider. Because you know what's coming. It's just, can you get down there far enough to hit it? That's what happened.
Yeah. Do you think the Giants bounce back? I mean, it's been brutal, obviously, this year. Or what do you think happens the second half of the season?
You know, being the fact that they're in the division. I mean, seriously, it's that division is really the Special Olympics division of baseball. I mean, it's the worst division.
True.
I mean, honestly, it is what it is. You know, it's horrible. I mean, Arizona, what, checking in with a big, strong, sturdy 4 games above 500 as your first place. I mean, come on, seriously. So yeah, their chances are just as good as anybody else. You know, you turn a couple things around, a couple guys come back. They lost a Ryan Vogelsong out of the rotation. You know, lost a couple of other, you know, guys as well, a couple of key bats. Some guys have missed. I mean, Pablo Sandoval missed, you know, a good portion of the season as well. It's just, you know, baseball. It's about staying healthy, you know, putting it all together. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But honestly, I'm quite looking forward to football as well, too. So it's really pretty much baseball and football, a two-headed race. You know, for me, at least, I'm proud of the fact that my Seahawks should do something this year. Looking forward to a big season there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to football season, too. It's interesting you talk about the NL West, and it's funny. It's like Special Olympics. That's a great thing to call it because it's uncallable. It's uncallable,
I mean, like the Padres, come on. The Rockies, everybody's below 500, but like one team. I mean, how can you even call that a division?
Yeah, I agree with you, absolutely. Do you care about the All-Star game? Or, you know, see, here's I'm going to give you my take on it. The thing with the All-Star game is this. I like the Home Run Derby and all that. I'm not keen on any of the All-Star games across the board in any of the big four sports, except for that. How do you keep an interest in a game when you have kids that are 10 and 11 that would rather do extreme sports or watch extreme sports or UFC? I think you got to bait that hook and keep them interested. So maybe the All-Star game helps when the players mingle with the kids. What do you think?
Yeah, you know what I find interesting? I mean, baseball is such a old-timer, stuck in the past. We can't adopt replay sports. Yep. But yet they do something as radical as, hey, let's give home field advantage to whoever wins one game. I mean, that's nuts that they do. It's schizophrenic is what it is. I mean, every other sport, you know, the best record is going to win. I don't know why they don't do that. But as far as getting kids hooked, I mean, a lot of it's the society and the culture, you know, that we're in nowadays. Kids want to surf. They want to skate. They want to do all these different types of sports. You know, Major League Baseball has done a really good job in the past, especially in inner cities. There were a lot of, you know, kids from some of these urban areas that weren't playing baseball. They were playing basketball and traveling with AAU and some other things as well, or getting in trouble, let's say. And Major League Baseball started up the Urban Youth Academy. I'm sure you're familiar with those. I know they got one in Texas. They have one out here in L.A. and Compton as well, too, where a lot of local pros and ex-coaches are coming together, putting on free tournaments and clinics, and kids can go out there year-round. You know, and that started to help and make a little bit of a dent, you know, in stuff there. But, you know, the league, honestly, is the more international the league gets, the further and further of a disconnect you're going to have between kids in the United States that can't relate. That's why they like certain sports. I mean, kids can relate to a LeBron James. If they're not, I mean, obviously they're not as good as he is, but here's a kid who was, you know, growing up with a single mother, you know, worked a couple of jobs, put him through a good Catholic school. I mean, kids can see that dream and want to achieve that. Half these guys coming over now from Japan or Venezuela, Dominican Republic, and we don't know anything about them. Yeah. It's difficult for people to follow.
Yeah, I agree with you. Robbie B., thanks so much. We'll catch you back on the air with NBC. Rob Buska, great stuff. Talk to you soon, my pal, my friend, my buddy.
Thanks, Kate. Appreciate it.
He's just thinking about Lasicki. That's what he's thinking about. I know it. And, boy, what a match she did not have at Wimby. The men's match was way better with Anne Nimere claiming the crown and beating Djokovic. Stay with us. More to come here on America Tonight.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care. Chiropractic done right.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
I must have dreamed a thousand dreams.
America tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Let's take one. Remember, you can always throw in your 2 cents, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Let's go out to a patient, Mark, in Washington. Hey, Mark, what's on your mind?
Well, I think your delay is off. You run a delay? That means I can say whatever I want.
Uh-oh. I hope that delay is on at the mothership. I hope you're not going to say anything terrible, are you?
No.
Okay.
I'll just be nice. Hey, I called when you're talking about the airline and the airplane. I'm not an expert by any means, but I've probably watched every documentary that National Geographic has ever put out on airplane wrecks. So these microbursts, I've been listening to the experts yesterday, and these microbursts only happen during lightning storms. And so the chances that that's going to happen are slim.
Rare.
To none.
Yeah.
And when you've got a plane that's coming in too slow, you know, before the micro, you know, any potential wind, anytime you're coming in that slow, you're playing with fire, because if the plane drops below a certain speed, I heard one guy quoted this. He said the aerodynamic properties of an airplane when it goes below stall speed is equal to that of a brick.
Oh.
And so it stops flying. Yeah. And I could just hear him going, uh-oh, we're in trouble. The stick shakes. They hit the throttle. The throttle does not give you an immediate response. And the other option is put the nose up. And then if you put the nose up, your tail is going to hit. So I also going to say this right up front. If a guy's been driving a 747 for years and he's training on a 777 and it's a Boeing plane, I don't think there's any significance in that, because that's like, you know, if you switch to a different vehicle, that doesn't mean you're incompetent in it. Here's what I think it's going to be. There was distractions in the cockpit. Maybe they're teaching the new guy. Maybe they're talking about things they shouldn't be. They're not looking at the right gauges. A lot of times those wrecks are because somebody's simply not paying attention to that gauge. And I really don't think the inexperience of the pilot, if he's been running 747s, he's not inexperienced by any stretch of the imagination. All planes have a stall speed. So, and he'd be well aware of that, I'm sure.
Right. So you think it's more a question of, okay, so he's on a plane that he didn't have a lot of time in, but he had the other, he's a similar plane. There's just a little bit of a difference between it. It's interesting because my husband's a pilot and he talks about the same thing. He talks about what you look at with the instruments, what visually is on or off and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of times that's what it is. It's what you exactly just said, that there's a distraction and then it's too late.
Yeah. There was one, Superjet airliner crash that they tracked down to, it was Oriental, a pilot. They tracked down to cultural differences. The main pilot was extremely experienced and the other guy wasn't, and the other guy was afraid to challenge him. And even though he knew something was wrong, they ended up retraining pilots all across the world about better communication and letting say a pilot's been doing it for 30 years and he's got somebody in there with him that's got 3 years, that guy might be disinclined to say anything out of respect because of the culture. And that's really a problem in the Orient, especially because of the way they function there. So it's more likely to be a communication issue in the cockpit, because if you're flying at stall speed, you know, I'm not a pilot, but you ask your husband, you're crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
The last one we had in Buffalo, New York, 2009.
Oh, terrible, yeah. Yeah.
That was a stall. And you know what? This is really amazing to me. I'm not a pilot, but I know if you stall, it means you've got a speed problem. You either hit the throttle or put the nose down. Well, what'd they do? They pulled the nose up.
Up, yeah.
And they stalled instantly.
Yeah. Oh, I know. That was a terrible... Oh, Mark, that was an awful crash. So unnecessary. It was awful.
That was horrific.
Yes.
Inexperienced mistake.
Yep.
Pilots were tired.
Yep.
And the last thing I've got to say is, what I like to see coming out of this wreck, positive, if people are so obsessed with getting their possessions out of overhead boxes, maybe airlines need to have, during the landing time, from the time they're starting it to decline and come down, maybe there should be an automatic lock that locks those so people don't even attempt to go. In other words, the pilot's saying, okay, we're with your seatbelts on and the overhead boxes are locked. They're not accessible until we stop, because you're not going to change human behavior.
Right.
And you're never going to change that in the future. People are still going to grab their possessions. And if they're grabbing possessions and risking somebody else, that is a serious problem that has to change.
I agree. Yeah. It's awful. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's never going to change. Nothing they can do in pilot school that's going to change that. So they're just going to have to say, hey, you just flat out lose out until this plane comes to a halt.
Yeah. I'd be willing to do it. Great caller, Mark. Thank you. I'd be willing to do it. I'd say, yeah, sure, I would. If it's a matter of my safety and you're always relying. So, you know, it's when you're on a plane, it's the most random thing in the world. And I've been lucky. I've sat next to wonderful people, great, interesting people that I've met almost every flight, and I've flown a lot. whether it's overseas, whether it's been around the United States, which is more, I've done more of that. But can you imagine if somebody cost you your life because they were tripping all over the place trying to get a bag out of the overhead when the plane is on fire and the chutes are out and people are also stuck, caught in their seatbelt? I mean, that is just awful. That is, I agree, it's completely unacceptable. And if the airlines, although there would, people would definitely protest. I know I'd be in the minority. Mark would be in the minority. But they're locking down the overhead so that it didn't fly out all over the place, stuff didn't fly out, and you didn't have people that were traipsing on top of other people when they're trying to clear the decks. Because you imagine, like, you know, remember the landing on the Hudson back in, what was it, 2008, Captain Sully and all of that, because the geese got caught in the, propellers, in the propellers. No, they got caught in the engine. So when he did that amazing miracle landing on the Hudson, and still people had to get out of the plane. It, luckily, it was staying afloat, but you're hysterical when the plane's in the water, and if people are trying to do all that kind of stuff, if it's in your lap, it's on your hand, it's whatever right there, it's underneath you, and you are not impeding anyone. I mean, whatever, sure, you throw your bag over your shoulder if it's right there, and it's there. But tripping over people, and especially an on-fire plane that is just shockingly bounced up when you're taking a landing after a very, very long flight, oh, yeah, that's beyond how I would feel if somebody cost people their lives because they were doing that. And, you know, luckily this crash was survivable for a lot of people. A lot of people were able to make it out, thank goodness that happened, and there weren't as many people that were killed. There were still people killed. There were still people injured. And, you know, it's a burned-out wreck of a plane with the smoke and everything else that happened. And the casualty figures were luckily low. And there is something about that. There is something about crew training and the awareness of passengers to know what to do in an emergency. A lot of people will poo-poo the emergency deal and think they've flown enough. And then the unthinkable happens, and they don't know what to do, and they're doing crazy things like blocking people because they're trying to grab something. The exits, you know, the emergency exits, that's huge. That's why they always say in the case of emergency, because this definitely played a part for the people who did try to help other people and push things open and knew what to do because they're designed that way. So what could have been a much more tragic incident didn't have to be because they were able to pop open doors and do all that sort of stuff. So the safety, I think this should really be enforced, this whole safety aspects of planes and procedures and all that kind of stuff. That's what this crash shows for sure.
Washington said, "Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. America's government is no longer the servant of the people and the protector of our liberty, but has become that fearful master. We the people must understand the nature of this government gone awry if we are to be successful in saving our country. America is being deliberately destroyed by a cabal of international gangsters so that she can be forced into subjugation to a one-world government. The God-given, unalienable rights of the Declaration of Independence are in jeopardy. We must not let them be stolen by ambitious and evil men. Utopia Silver Supplements believes it is our God-given right to make our own health care decisions however we deem best. If we can help you with your supplement needs and better health, then help us win this health freedom battle. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's utopiasilver.com or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338.